that has an ear, let him hear. Now, I'm sure that if Jesus were here, he would utilize and capitalize on all of the technology that we have. But at any rate, let's go ahead with this message. Now, when I came into an organization, I was given a manual to go by, and I will tell you what organization that was. But, you know, we were all brought into a situation through the act of creation, and God gave some information that was later transformed into a manual that I've entitled The Christian Survival Guide. On my way to church this morning, there was a sign on the side of the road at a Baptist church, The Christian Survival Guide. Oh, I thought, well, they're going to preach on the same thing I'm going to preach on. And then I came here, and I heard Kimberly, and I heard the worship team, and Kimberly, you did a fantastic job. And I want to say, this is an element that's missing in many, many Christian lives. We do not memorize what God has told us, and we forget so easily. So when I came into the organization known as the Boy Scouts of America, I think they're the Boys of America now, I know, combination boys and girls, but at any rate, we were given a manual, and I lost my manual, and frankly, I'm really lost without it. I know so much about survival just by what I picked up in that survival guide. I mean, there was a scout oath, there was a scout law. How many of you were scouts at one time? Okay? All right. Can you do it? A scout is trustworthy, loyal, friendly, helpful, courteous, kind, cheerful, obedient, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Were you with me? Okay. All right. Well, at any rate, I've tried to apply that. I wasn't a Christian when I joined, but those have become principles in my life. So we're going to look this morning at the Word of God, and I want to share five principles with you that I feel are all important for every Christian to know. And, you know, nothing is original with any pastor. The only people that were original in the life of the church and in the Christian world were those that were directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. All that I'm going to share with you has been stuff that I have picked up. And I'm very indebted to a wonderful Bible teacher and an evangelist called Porter Barrington. And these five principles he shared, and I've renamed them, and I've reused them for myself. And I've known of his ministry for 34 years. So behind me is another ministry, and behind many of you is a ministry that I trust the Lord will use to reinforce what he wants to say to us this morning. So I'm talking about the Word of God, the most valuable book in the world, the book that has been, attempts have been made to put it out of existence. It is, people are killed for having a copy of this. And no book has endured such careful transmission of what God wants us to hear and to know than this book. We have more evidence through the manuscripts that exist for the Word of God that prove to us the validity of the Scriptures than we do for information that George Washington ever lived. We are talking about a book that God has given to us to guard with our lives, and people die for what they hear from the Word of God. There have been attempts to burn it, to misquote it, to do away with it in any way that they could. But this is God's Word. A number of years ago, there was an English journalist who was the editor of a well-known London newspaper, and he sent out 100 letters to 100 individuals in the Society of England. These were professors and authors and merchants and parliamentarians and from the whole segment of society, and he said, I'm going to propose to you that you are thinking that you will be under arrest for 3 years. You will be allowed to take 3 books with you during that period of time while you are in jail. I want you to write down in list of their importance, number 1, number 2, and number 3, the 3 books that you would take with you. Now we're talking about England, the source of literature in the world, if you will. And so the letters came back, and the percentage was 98 of them listed this book is the number 1 book that they would want while they were in prison for 3 years. You know, I think that's important. We need to remember that God has given us everything he wants us to know. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, give us a very severe warning. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And I'm looking on television these days, and I'm seeing people add to the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, you won't know that they've added to it. They've taken away from it. And if you don't know the Word of God, you won't know that they've taken away from it. So for that reason, I want to walk us through this morning these five basic principles that we need to master within our lives. To set the tone, I want to read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to read this, but I'm reading from Psalm 119, and if you have your Bible, how many of you have your Bible? Well, that's a fair show. How many of you have the book with you? How many of you have, well, mine's in the bag over there. I got both of them, and I've got all different versions of them. All right, well, I'm glad that you've got it. And I will be reading from the New International Version, and I'm reading Psalm 119, the great passage in Scripture on the Word of God. Psalm 119, and I will be reading verses 1 through 8. Oh, how I love thy law. Do I? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. This from the pen of a man who learned a lot from the Word of God and passed it on to us. And so, I got to get rid of some of the junk up here. It's driving me crazy. Anybody need some extra pens? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there's two batteries and a case of batteries here. At any rate, this is where we are going this morning. I'm sharing with you five foundational truths, principles about the Scripture, about the Bible, the Word of God, the infallible written Word of God. First of all, this book is not just a book. It is a library, if you will. It is a library, and the first principle is, it is the verbally inspired Word of God. All Scripture, and on the back of your bulletin, there is a place for you. I took a basic course this week in how to do a PowerPoint. So my point is, if it works, fine, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to throw it away, and you just listen. But to help you, one of the things they said is, don't put a lot of information up. People won't read it. So I'm putting up the verses. And I want you to know that on the back of your bulletin, there's a little space called sermon notes. You can write down the verses and the principles that I'm giving you, and then spend some time today studying these principles. And I will guarantee you that when you put that together with what you heard this morning and what you did in your worship time, and if you participated in the prayer time, there'll be a breakthrough in your life. All right, here we go. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we have a lot of people that are going astray doctrinally because they are not looking at the Word of God. They are not studying the Word of God. The Scriptures are profitable. They are breathed by God. If you have the NIV, which I don't use, I use the American Standard Version, but the translation is, all Scripture is God-breathed. Do you know what that means? That means what your breath is the very essence of your life. If you don't breathe, you're going to drop over on the floor. Okay, God's breath is what gave us the Word of God. It is tied to his very essence and his very being. And when he gave us the Word of God, he gave us all of himself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And when you don't have the right doctrine and you stay in the Word, you will be reproved, and then when you are reproved, you will get corrected, and when you are corrected, you will be instructed and able to instruct other people as well. All Scripture. Genesis. How many of you can recite all 66 books of the Bible? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Whew. So if I tell you we're going to look at Hezekiah chapter 5, verse 4, some of you are going to start running all over the place. And you'll never find it because it's not there. All right, folks, be warned. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 5, and then there's 12. And then there's 5, and there's 5, and there's 4, and 4, and 4, and that makes 39. And then you go to the New Testament, and everything's in 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Galatians, Ephesians, and so on. And 6 times 4 is 24, and the last three are 2nd John, Jude, and Revelation. 39, 3 times 9 is 27, 27 in the New Testament. Know your scriptures, because if you're talking to somebody, especially if you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, you're going to get all fouled up. And they'll point out things to you while you're trying to find a book of the Bible that they're trying to share the verse with you from. You'll miss, well, it's good for you to miss everything they say. But everything that they say is not right. Now, how did all of this happen? God is the author. Man becomes the agent or the instrument through whom he gave the scriptures. Look at that second passage, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Know this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any matter of private interpretation. No prophet decided that he was going to sit down one day and say something and say that this is what the Lord told me. No, it is of no private interpretation, but prophecy came never by the will of man, but God spoke through holy men. God spoke through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is important to understand. That is vital to our understanding of Scripture. We talked about David and his knowledge of the Word of God, and so much of the book of Psalms was given by him. And why are we so blessed by the writing of David? Because he said in 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2, on his deathbed, on the time when he was dying, he said, and this is a testimony of David, the last words of David, the Spirit of God spoke by me and his word was on my tongue. The Spirit of God spoke by me and his word was on my tongue. The Bible is the inspired, God-breathed, Holy Spirit-given book. We neglect it to our peril. We will not survive if we neglect the Word of God. Secondly, because it is given by God, it is a, and I'm going to use another word that you may not be familiar with, a supranatural book. There is the natural, there is the supernatural, and there is the supranatural. Which means that it transcends the natural, it transcends the supernatural, and it goes into the realm of being over all of that. It is a book that is like no other book. There is no other book like the Scriptures. And I will guarantee you that there are people that would give their life if they could have a copy of the Word of God. I counted, I probably have 16 copies of the Word of God in my library. And if that's great for me as a pastor. I can look at this version and that version and so forth. But, you know, there are people that, and you've heard the story about those that meet in the forest in China. And as they have that meeting, at the end of the meeting, they tear pages out of the scripture and they give a page to each one of the pastors that's there. And they say, you take this page and you preach what's on this page. And when you're done, and the next time, we'll give you another page. And you will not be able to preach unless you have already spent some time in prison. That's how important the Word of God is to some people. So the Bible is a supernatural book. It transcends the natural and the supernatural. It is above and beyond, and its origin is in the infinite one who chose to communicate to the finite people that which he wants us to know for our spiritual well-being. He descends from the supernatural to the supernatural in the giving of the scriptures. Now, this is important for us to understand. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 14 is up there. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 14 is a very, very important passage. And what I want you to do is to understand that when we read the scriptures for ourselves, we cannot understand it by our own wisdom and understanding. Now, I've done well in English. I've done well in my studies and so forth. Even one song that was up here, I was thinking, it should be whom, not who. But I can apply all of my knowledge of the English language to Scripture, but I will never come to a knowledge of what the Spirit of God would say. And so I want you to listen to this 1 Corinthians, and my technology is going to kill me here this morning, but I'll keep going on it. All right, 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 14. If you're there, let me read it for you. Who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except Pastor Ben. John Stoffer. No one. Neither of these gentlemen, nor myself, nor Pastor Paul. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. We have been given our pastor to help us along that line, but you can get these things by yourself through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to your own heart and life. But if you don't take time to do it, it won't happen. And as I will say later on, if you don't know this book, you're not going to survive when the hard days come, and they are coming. Our brothers and sisters in the Christian Valley in Syria right now are in the crosshairs between Turkey and Syria with the, what's the group that got joined up with them? But at any rate, we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. They are people of the book. They love the Lord, and they are wanting to serve the Lord. And the dear brother who is the leader of the alliance there, they're praying for wisdom as to know whether to flee or whether to stand ground, what to do. But they are doing everything that they're doing based on their love of the Word of God. What's going to happen when that time comes here? Are we going to disappear into the wilderness, or are we going to stand firm and fast? Well, I continue. These are things that we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now notice this verse. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. When you are witnessing to someone, a person who is not saved cannot understand what you're saying unless the Holy Spirit ministers to his heart. That's why when you witness, you pray before you start witnessing. And you ask the Lord to open that person's mind. I pray constantly, Lord, lead me to somebody whose heart is in the process of being prepared. And when I find that person, it's easy to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not all that great at doing that. I'm not an evangelist, but I'm called to do the work of an evangelist. We are not all evangelists, but we are called, like we said in Sunday school this morning, we are under orders. We don't need a calling to be a pastor. We don't need a calling to be a missionary. I have to take that back. I was called to be a missionary. Okay, but the point is, we are under orders. We must follow the orders that God gave to us. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all people, and then the end will come. And if we don't do our job, the reason the Lord has not come back yet is because we haven't done our job. I will take an amen. I heard one. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 14. And then I want to turn over to John chapter 16, which is right along this line. John 16, verses 11 through 15. Very important words. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. You want to know what's to come? Look at the scriptures, listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you can't see some of the things that are coming right now, it's because you're not in the Word. Thank you. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes what is mine, and he will reveal it to you. He will disclose it to you. Very important words. So the Bible is the verbally inspired word of God. Secondly, the Bible is a supernatural book. When you carry this book, there's no other book like it. Whether you carry it on your phone or you carry it in book form, and I'm sorry, but I'm the kind of a person, I got to have a book in my lap if I'm going to read. I can read off my phone, but I preached in one church, and just about everybody that was there, when I said, do you have a copy of the scriptures? All the phones go up in the air. And I said, all right, I'm going to come around and check on you while I'm preaching to make sure you're still on the Bible portion of your phone and not looking at yesterday's Georgia game. Okay. Not worth looking at anyway. But at any rate, numbers, and I'm a Georgia fan, but at any rate, go ahead. The third principle. Second principle, the Bible is a supernatural book. The third principle, I got to remember to use my technology. The Bible is a fully unified book. This is a very interesting subject to me because all of the elements that are in Scripture, all of the subjects that are covered in the Scripture are characterized by unity. Anything that you read in the Old Testament about sin will be the same thing that you'll read about in the New Testament. Anything that you read about what God's plan is and his desire is for your life and the way you live and walk with him, whether it was to the Jewish people or to you as a servant of God in the New Testament times, it is united together. There is a non-contradictory, if you will, non-contradictory character to the Scripture. There is an interconnectivity between every single subject that's in the Scriptures in the Word of God. Now, this is amazing. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 tells us this. Know first that, and I gave you this already, no prophecy is a private interpretation. It came from God. And if God gave it, what he said in the Old Testament is the same thing he's going to say in the New Testament. Why Jewish people can read passages like Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 and other passages in the Old Testament which are the what Jesus must have referred to when he talked to the two on the road to Emmaus, when he explained to them and they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he explained to us the Scriptures? And when he was in the upper room, he explained to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus is in the Old Testament. I challenge you, as you study the Old Testament, every time you find references that look like Jesus, put the letter J by it, and you'll probably find that it's so. The Bible, those 66 individual books, is one book. 38 to 39 authors, speaking three different languages, living over 1,500 years of time, not having the opportunity to consult with one another, and yet all that they say agrees. I'll give you one subject. Marriage. 39 of you, I want you to take the subject of marriage, and tomorrow we'll get back, and I want you to tell me everything you know about marriage. I'll have at least 20 different versions. And you all live at the same time. You're all from the same area. But these people, guided by the Holy Spirit, authors who were educated, uneducated, shepherds, farmers, kings, public officials, teachers, physicians, and the list goes on. These people were united. They had no consultation with one another, with few exceptions here and there, but this is a fully unified book. You try to study the Quran, and when you look at the Quran, you have to ask them, well, which version of the Quran is this one? It's almost like it's not quite the same thing as which version do we have of the Bible, the NIV, the King James. I was going to bring some of my Bibles here and just lay them on the table and tell you what the choices were. You get Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. You get all kinds of references. I looked at my wife's study Bible when she was alive. I was going through that yesterday. I almost thought to myself, if you don't have a Bible, I'd like to give that Bible to somebody. I haven't made up my mind on that yet. But it's interesting to see that regardless of what what portion of the Quran you read, at what time it was written, and whether it has been, there's a word that they use for it, and I can't remember, but the point is, they can't give you any connectivity or any continuity to what they think the prophet said when he was here on earth and what exists right now. But we know that we have what God said in the beginning, and we have it until this present day. Amen. Ask 38 people, 39 people that you know to write on one subject, sin, and then tell me what you get. You probably get 39 of them and say it doesn't exist. Okay. All right, the Bible is a verbally inspired, God-breathed book that God has given to us. Secondly, the Bible is a supernatural book. Thirdly, it is a fully unified book. Now, number four. How am I doing, Ben?
Good, good.
Doing okay? I'm going to be 83 years old next year. I can't believe I'm doing this. Hey, if I can do it, you can do it too. Number four. The Bible is a living and transformative book.
Amen.
When you read this book, if you read it with an open heart, for God says, you shall seek for me and you shall search for me with all your heart, and when you do that, you'll find me. And this is where you find God. How can I find God? Right here. He revealed himself in this book right here. The Bible is a living and transformative book that God has given to us. 1 Peter 1:23. You have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. You have been born again. Born again. You didn't bore yourself again. Nobody else bore you again. You have been born again through the Word of God. It is able to transform your life. You are here today, if you are a child of God, because God revealed himself in this book. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:13. And some of these verses are good. I know that some of you know them by heart. I could almost ask you to say them with me. But that's why I was so pleased with what Kimberly did. That's a challenge. I want to talk about memorizing the scriptures. I have a pack of cards like this with scripture verses on them, and I go through them all the time, and it's amazing. If I don't do that often, I'll come to one, what? And I have to look at the back and get the first couple of words of the translation, and then I can take off. But it's important that we have the Word of God stored in our mind, because if it's not there, it's like computers, nothing in, nothing out. When the Holy Spirit wants to tell you something, he'll tell you through the Word of God, which is in your mind and in your scriptures as you read. I look askance at these people that come along and say, I had a fresh revelation from God. Well, you tell me your revelation, and if it doesn't match this revelation, get out the door. I don't want to hear you.
Amen.
The Bible is a living and powerfully transformative book. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It will judge the thoughts and intents of your heart. And it's interesting, what did Jesus use to defeat Satan? Reasoning? Quotes from some ancient philosophers? No. It is written. It is written. It is written. And each time, the devil had to back off, even when he misquoted scripture. And the devil will misquote scripture to you. Believe me, if you don't know the word, he'll trip you up. The word of God is described as a sword, as bread, as a mirror. You had that. You had a hard time with that verse, didn't you? as a mirror, it's described also as a treasure. Psalm 119, I love that verse. How shall a young man cleanse? Listen, young men, young women, how will you be able to clear up your life? How will you be able to cleanse your way? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to that way according to your reasoning? No, according to the Word of God. With my whole heart, verse 10, have I sought you. Oh, Lord, let me not wander from your commandments. And then verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Bible, as someone has said, and this goes back a long ways, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. You with me on that, Keith? I know you see you shaking your head. That's back in our day. No other book ever written is all of this to you and to me, so let me say it again. This is the way to keep our life clean. Amen. All right. The Bible is the verbally inspired word of God. The Bible is a supernatural book. The Bible is a fully unified book. It is a transformative and powerful book. And lastly, it is a book, we come to this, of divine direction and authority. What is stated in there is not optional. You don't look at this and say, oh, I don't like that. I'm talking with somebody right now who supposes that he's going through a deep study of the Scripture. He's looking at the way things were put together in the Old Testament. And when he got done telling me all of his gobbledygook, I said, what you're going to find out is, based on what you've heard, you're going to have to tear out all different kinds of pages in the Scripture, and when you're done, you're not going to have enough to show you what it is that you need to do in order to be saved. The Bible is a book of divine direction and authority. And when God says something about the Scriptures, we need to pay attention. 2 Timothy 2:15. What is it? Come on, tell me. I can't hear you. Study. In my version, study to show yourself approved. When's the last time you studied the Word of God? Do you study the Word of God? Or do you only study it when you sit under Tom Talman in his Sunday school class? Or when you sit under Steve G in his Sunday school class? Study to show yourself approved. Or do you even come to Sunday school to study? I deplore the lack of attendance in our Sunday school classes. I feel so badly about that. God says, study my word. Study to know my Scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God, which is a way of saying if you don't study, you're not approved by God. You got to look at the alternate side of statements that God makes in the Word of God. Study and be approved, or don't study and don't be approved. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A work person, a workman, workwoman, a work person who does not need to be ashamed, rightly discerning the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, able to discern and connect passages that are related to each other. I get a kick out of it myself when I'm studying Scripture, reading Scripture, and a verse will come to my mind that relates to what I'm reading, and I have a Bible with cross-references. That cross-reference is not in there, so I'll add my own cross-reference in there. Studying the Word of God is a joy. It is a way of reinforcing your soul. Amen. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. 1 Peter 2:2 is up there. And all I've asked you to do is write down the five principles and the Scriptures. And you go home and you study them tonight and this afternoon and try to make them a part of your life. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. One reason why Christians stay stunted is because they do not get into the Word. They come once a week and they listen to the preacher, and some people will say, oh, I didn't like the preacher this morning, or, you know, what he said, that bothers me, and so forth. No, study the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Amen. And desire the Word of God like a baby desires milk. Now, you can't remember what it was like for you to desire a baby's milk. I'll say it, in Africa, my wife breastfed real fine. So in the middle of the night, when the baby cried, I poked her and I said, it's your turn. And she was the one always that got up. I never had to get up in the middle of the night. But you can tell when a baby wants milk. I don't find too many Christians that are hollering for milk like babies cry for milk. And we should be beyond the baby stage. We should be growing. We should grow in righteousness and justice and holiness and in the fear of God. The Bible is a book of divine direction and authority. Commandments to be obeyed. Your Bible is food. Your Bible is a weapon. It's a lamp. It's a purifier. It's a guide. It's a teacher. And you are a workman. I like doing some woodwork. Sometimes I have to do woodwork that I don't like to do, but I do it anyway. I have to split wood, but I have to keep my axe sharp. And if you're a workman that you like to work with wood, and my daughter comes up, she's as bad as my wife was. She comes up with more projects than I have time to do. How about that, Jerry? But one thing is certain, if I don't keep my tools sharp, it takes forever to get the job done. And in a Christian life, if you don't keep yourself sharpened up, if you are not a workman that takes your time to sharpen your skills and your tools in the Word of God, it's going to take a long, hard time for you to make it through. I would like to say this. I'm bullish on Christians reading their Bible. I appreciate devotional books, but I don't want to hear what God told somebody else that I need to hear. I want to hear what God wants to tell me. And I have made it my practice every day of my life since I have been saved to, in my time of reading, morning and evening, ask, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I can tell you, as I stand before you this morning, probably not more than five times in all of the years that I have known the Lord Jesus Christ since 1955, that I have not heard a word from God that I could write down in a book. And when you keep a journal of what God says to you, and I am ashamed as I look back over my journal and I say to myself, man alive, if I carry my journal to heaven, the Lord's going to say, well, you take that journal from 5 years ago and I want you to turn to page 119 in there and I want you to see what I told you at that time. Did you ever put that into practice? I'm going to be ashamed when I stand before the Lord. But at least I'm doing the right thing. And I would encourage you to look to see what God will give you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I know he can minister through somebody else's devotional book. But I would like to encourage you to do that. I am chagrined at the statistic that I found. And I'm talking over this way, young people. The average young person spends 9 hours a day on their lap, on their palm reader or their phone or whatever. How long have you spent today on the Word of God? I saw one young person, and in her house, I was in there several times, and the Bible was in the same place each time I went there. And I said, you must be starving to death. Why? I said, you haven't had your daily bread. You haven't gone to the Scriptures. This is your food. This is what helps you to grow. Get into the Word. Maybe that dear child was into the Word on the phone. I don't know. But I just would encourage you, and encourage you adults, to challenge your children. Have a night when you lay the phone down and you just sit around, turn the TV off, talk to one another, play games together, and have a good family time. Now, I will close with these words. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer to the one who asks the reason for the hope that is in you. Are you ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ being within you? If you're not ready, you need to get ready. If you do not, then study his word. And if you don't study his word, there's less chance of you being used of God to be a blessing to someone else. I'm going to close with Psalm 119, verses 7 through 10. All day long, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my instructors, and I've read this to you before, but I want to close with this, because this is the capsule of this whole message this morning. Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than old people, because I guess that's what that says. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. So I'm saying, read it, study it, memorize it, pray it, live it, and share it. Can you say that with me? Can you say that with me? Read it, study it, memorize it, pray it, live it, and share it.